I've been developing this perspective for a long time, and it seemed to me that in this very difficult moment that we're passing through in this country and in the world, that if this perspective was ever going to be useful, now would be the time. And in fact, it proved true that because the election was determined by the lack of a perspective that could propose a real alternative to the values behind war and the power of the few over the many. It used to seem that there were two superpowers and two deep economic philosophies, capitalism and communism. Now, after the fall of the Soviet Union, the U.S. is trying to be the only one, extending its hegemony over the world. But I believe there is a deeper contradiction, the one between women and men, which can also be seen as an economic contradiction between gift-giving and exchange. We can recognize this contradiction both in our personal and in our political lives. That is, we can address it personally as it appears in love or in violence, charity or exploitation, the home or the market, activism for peace or activism for war. Gift-giving can be seen in work for individual, psychological, or cultural change, anti-racism, sexism, homophobia work, and work against political oppression, domination, and corruption. If we don't recognize the common thread of gift-giving, though, we will not succeed in dislodging the monster of oppression from our hearts and our nations. The main thing, I think, is to stand back for a moment and use the distance not to forget about what is going on, but to understand why and how we are creating this monster. If we cannot get to the motivation and propose something else, we cannot stop it, or we will stop it only for a little while. I don't want to universalize white men. They have done that a lot themselves. And I don't want to demonize them. I do think they often embrace a gender model and an economic model that has been particularly pernicious. When I talk about how gender is constructed, I'm talking about the culture I know, where institutions also ratify some of the worst aspects of economic and political machismo. I know many other cultures have patriarchies, and some cultures do not, but I don't want to speak for them. The women in those cultures should talk about the gender roles there. As an upper-class white woman, I want to take responsibility for trying to solve the problems that have been created by the men who are like me. They say that the cure comes from the place where the disease originates. Being from Austin, Texas, maybe I am close enough to the place. Maybe I am close enough to the place where the most recently mutated strain of the patriarchal disease originates to be able to identify it and find the appropriate medicine. If we can identify gift-giving as an alternative to exchange, we can also identify exchange as an aspect of the way we construct masculinity as an alternative to the mother. Let me talk about what exchange is. Exchange is giving in order to receive an equivalent good of what has been given. And it requires quantification and measurement, while gift-giving is directed towards satisfying needs. And it's a transitive interaction where value is given from the gift-giver to the receiver. And there's an interaction in which the receiver recognizes the giver and the giver the receiver as somebody that has given them something or to whom they're giving something. Somebody thinks of what the other person needs and fashions something to satisfy that need. On the other hand, exchange separates people because each person is in it to get what they can out of the transaction for themselves. So it's ego-oriented. And it's a gift which has been turned against itself. That is, it's double. Each one person gives to the other and the other gives back. And they have to be equal. And actually, though, it's a false equality that many other gifts get given to, but we don't see it because the exchange purports to be equal. And value is given to the ego or to the person that's doing the giving of the exchange rather than to the other. Now, where does the exchange come from, and what does that have to do with gender? What I think that happens is that because mothering is the most evident aspect of women to children when they're small, it's regarding mothering that gender is constructed. Other characteristics of women seem less relevant and less known. Children are seen to be physiologically similar to or different from their mothers and thus categorized as female or male. Boy children who will not be mothers will not be nurturing or gift-giving in this opposition, while girls will be mothers and gift-givers. A not-giving identity is thus proposed for males in opposition to the nurturing mother. The principle of not-giving thus begins to expand and becomes the principle, the mode of the economy and the context of patriarchy. At the same time, there's an erasure of gift-giving as an interpretative key for the understanding of the world. Gift-giving is identified with the mother who is repudiated as a model by males and therefore no longer seen as a deep and widespread human principle. Rather, it appears to be a localized and particular mode of interacting appropriate to infants and to those who give birth to them. Exchange takes the place of gift-giving as the mode of human interaction, just as a heterosexually gendered society takes the place of a mother-based society. What we need to do is to generalize gift-giving, putting it back into all the areas of life where it has been erased. This will create the justification, the understanding, and the conceptual context that will diminish exchange and undermine patriarchy, challenging their hegemony from within. If we can identify gift-giving as one of the fundamental aspects of communication, we can redimension what is thought of as the symbolic order, which purports to be the domination of the categories of language over life. Categorization creates a network of mutually exclusive relations with other categories. On the material plane, categorization is transformed into mutually exclusive groupings that are private property, where gifts are not given. In fact, the way in which gender is constructed pushes us towards a distorted view and a distorted use of categorization. The uses of the process of categorization in the formation of gender categories actually creates the ground for the binary distinction that causes so many problems. If we realize that it is not just categorization that is the basis of language and communication, but gift-giving, we can liberate our thinking from the exchange model. In fact, language is a sort of ideal society in which all the gifts, the means of production of words, sentences, and discourse, are shared and are there waiting to be used by anybody. Even syntax can be seen as gift patterns transposed onto the level of language. Words are used by giving them to each other in gift syntax patterns to satisfy the communicative needs of the listener. If we look at it in this way, we can see that language is a guide for what we should be doing in our material communication, and that it continues to humanize us, whatever else we may be doing, and even when we are otherwise acting in negative ways towards each other. If language is based on gift-giving, as I believe and have talked about in a number of things that I've written, we can see that there is a large area of life that we have misinterpreted by eliminating the gift as an interpretative key. Gift-giving can be seen as a key for epistemology, for the creation of a more authentic imaginary, for the reframing of our other orientation as a glimpse of a better world. and a reframing of exchange as the tool of patriarchal domination. Gift-giving can be seen in spiritual practices, in families, in activism, in care for the vulnerable, and in our relationships with nature. Exchange can be seen in retaliation and vengeance, in the equal payments for crimes committed, in the attacks and counterattacks of war. Gift-giving can be seen in the remittances sent by immigrants in the North to people in their home countries in the South, remittances that sometimes make up a large portion of the economies of the South. Gift-giving can be seen in the kinds of communication that take place in community media, radio, television, and internet, which try to tell the truth in spite of the lies fomented by exchange. In fact, telling the truth satisfies the need of the other, while lies fit with the logic of exchange by satisfying the ego-oriented need of the liar. For years, I've been trying to identify gift-giving when I see it and to shift my thinking towards the gift paradigm. I believe it is helpful to present it in the many different areas where it exists. And now I've been joined by a number of women who have constituted a network, Feminists for a Gift Economy, and many of them will be speaking in these days, though not all of them, and many of the women are not actually part of that network. So I do hope that you all will be interested in what goes on in this conference and will be able to alter your perspective as you begin to see the thread that connects all different kinds of gift-giving with each other, and you begin to see also how exchange itself is negative and creates negative human relations, and which fit in with negative gender relations, and how that is projected out into our society and into our government and into international relations as well.